Good morning. And I say that with a renewed sense of enthusiasm this morning. It's been since just before Christmas since I've been here. And that seems like forever, but it's so beautiful to look out over the congregation and see you again and to be with you again. It's just want to welcome you. We're glad that you're here to worship with us. It's just so good to be in your presence again. And with all of the things that are going on, we realize that there are some people wanting to be here this morning and could not. We had a couple phone calls of people said, I just don't feel comfortable trying to get out of my driveway this morning. So we want to pray for them and for soon return that we'll all be able to get back together. But want to welcome you. Glad that you're here for our service this morning. I want to thank you because it's not a warm day and it's not an easy day for some people to get out. So you came and I know you put an extra effort and I just want to say welcome. We're so glad that you're here this morning. God bless you. Today we're starting a new series of sermons, How to Make It Through Tough Times. Part one, today's message is where to find hope when you need it. We find our hope in Jesus. You know, one of the fundamental questions being asked today about life in our pandemic world is this. Is there hope? Will things get better? Is there hope? Now, that is being asked every day by thousands of people in thousands of different ways. Is there hope? Governmental and political leaders are asking the question about the conflict over in Ukraine. Is there hope? When you're sitting in the doctor's office awaiting the results of tests, you think, am I going to hear something about hope? When a couple or a family hears that their child is missing and they ask the police, is there hope? When you're looking through the window in a COVID ward in the hospital and you hear the question asked so many times, is there hope? You can go 40 days without food and 3 days without water. And you can go 8 minutes without air. But you can't go a single minute without hope. Hope is one of the essentials of life. When hope is gone, life is given up. Life is over. You need hope to live. Dr. Harold Wolf, who is a professor at Cornell University in the medical school department, he did a study on the effects of hope on the human body. And he took and studied 25,000 prisoners of war over an extended period of time to see what hope did to them and what difference it made. And he discovered that out of the 25,000 POWs, there was one group of men within that study in which the experience of being a POW had no effect at all, in spite of brutality, in spite of torture, in spite of solitary confinement, in spite of all kinds of inhumane abuse, it didn't have any effect on this particular group. And they didn't get ill. They didn't have flashbacks. They just handled it and went on with their life. When he studied that group, there was one thing that he discovered that was a common denominator for every one of those within that group. And that was that each one of them had an extraordinarily high level of hope, no matter what situation they were in. And hope made all the difference in the world. You see, it is essential for handling the crisis of life. And in his concluding study, he said, when a person has hope, They're capable of bearing incredible burden and even cruel punishment. But when hope is gone, people fall apart emotionally, physically, spiritually. And today, we're beginning a new series of how to make it through tough times. And we're going to begin by looking at where do you find the help and the hope that you need to excel in life, to flourish in life. Because if you don't get hope, none of the other things we talk about are going to make any sense. You have to have hope to believe that God will work in your life. You have to have hope to believe that God can change your situation and that God can meet your needs. You've got to have hope. And where do you find that kind of hope? Well, the Bible tells us that you find it in God. God is the source of hope. In Romans 15:13, it says this, "May God, who is the source of hope, fill you with joy and peace through your faith in Him." In other words, as you put your faith in God, He gives you what you need to face life. He gives you strength. He gives you peace. He gives you joy. He gives you hope. And He says, then when that happens, when you trust that in Him, then you will overflow with hope. Specifically, God says, if you want to put your hope in Me, you need to put it in My name. And now this is interesting because during this series of studies, I'm going to be looking at the name of God that is used in the Bible and how that is an understanding of who God is and how God comes and how He helps us as His people. But we find that in His name, your name for God is there. He says, in your name I will hope, for your name is good. What does that mean? In your name, that is good. How do you put hope in a name of God? Well, in ancient cultures, as you might know, they would choose a name for a person because of what it meant. You know, because of what it described. In fact, your name was usually a definition of your character. And I've looked back at my name, Jerry, which is a derivative of Jeremiah, which is a name and which is lifted up before God as something special. So I'm special, you see. We're all special in God's sight. But in those cultures, whatever that name meant, that name described something about you. It was a definition of your character. So God has a lot of different names we find in the Bible. And in the Bible, God calls Himself by many different Hebrew names. Each one of those is a description of His character. Each one of those names is a promise. And that promise is to you and to me. It's a promise to us. In the book of Ezekiel, God gives one of His names. And He says, I am Jehovah Shema. Jehovah Shema. And in Hebrew, that means Jehovah Shema is, I am the God who is always there. There is no place that God is not. There is no place you will go that God isn't there. God has been in your past. He is with you now in the present. And He's going to be with you in your future. He is in the good times and in the bad times. He is in the good places And he's in the places where you encounter evil. He is everywhere. And this has profound implications on where you find hope. If God is truly with me all the time, if God is with me right now with what I'm going through in my life, whether I feel it or not, if he is truly with me, that means there are three sources of hope that I can count on. There are a lot of things in life that I can't count on. And I've tried that. I've tried myself and my abilities and other hopes. And there's so many things in life that is uncertain that you can't count on. But there are three anchors of the soul, as the Bible calls them, three things that I can count on, so no matter what happens and what's going on, I know that life is not hopeless, but I have hope. And the first thing I know about God is that his presence is watching over me. The older I get, the more I realize how much of my life that I cannot control. Oh, how I found that out just before Christmas. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Don't worry because I am with you," says God. "Don't be afraid because I am your God. I will make you strong and I will help you. I will support you." The good news is, regardless of what happens, you and I don't have to go through life alone. There is a God who will be with you with whatever you're going through. He will be there with you. And that is one of the certainties of life that I can hold on to, that no matter what I'm going through, God is with me. I am not alone in this. And when I hold on to that certainty, I have a hope that the world can't give and it can't take away. There are a lot of uncertainties in life. One of the sad uncertainties of life is that people that you love will become ill and won't be themselves anymore. There will be people that you love that will die. And the sad truth of life is that people leave us. But the certainty of life is that God never leaves you. You are not going to be forsaken. And as a pastor, I've stood at a lot of gravesides with people. I did that this past Friday. I had a funeral this past Friday for a family who had lost a mother. And while at those funerals, I've heard many times the words, "I don't know how I'm going to make it." And I only have one answer. The answer is this: God is with you, and God will be with you in this time. Not only is he with us, but the Bible says he watches over us. He doesn't just watch out there somewhere or some distant place watching us. He doesn't just watch us. He watches over us and cares about us. In Psalm 32:8, it says, "I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you which steps to make, which path to choose, and I will watch over you." God can control the future. He's willing to show us which path we ought to follow. And there's great hope in that if we would just hear God, listen to God, obey God, do what he's telling us to do. One of the great things that brings hope is realizing I don't have to figure it out. I don't have to figure out which path I should walk or what I should do. One of the great things is that brings hope is realizing I don't have to do that. I just have to trust the God who has it all figured out. He knows, and he understands, and he's willing to guide and advise me through life, even when I don't know the way. In Lamentations 3, it says, I have hope that I think of this, when I think of this. The Lord's love never ends. His mercies never stop. They are new every morning. You see, nothing can ever make God stop loving me once I put my hand in His hand. Oh yes, I've done some things that I regret. I've done some things I've been ashamed of. But once I have put my hand in the hand of God, even when I stumble and fall, God is there to pick me up and to lead me on and to continue on where God wants me to go. Once I put my hand in His, He will never let me go. Many of us look back on our lives and we say, well, you know, I really blew it. I wish I hadn't have done that. We feel ashamed, guilty, helpless, hopeless. The Bible says that God gives us a new, fresh start every morning. And I need that. I need the hope that I can have when I got up this morning, I have a totally new start in my life. That God gives me a new start and a new day to live in, a new hope that He wants me to have and He wants to give to me. I didn't start out this morning the way I was. I started out this morning with a new hope in who God is and what He wants for me. God gives me a new start and a new day to live in that hope. And the first thing that God gives me for hope is that God is watching over me. And the second source of hope is this. His purpose is working in me. No matter what happens in my life, the good, the bad, the ugly, God's purpose is working in me. When you see a purpose behind your problem, it gives you enormous hope. You know, when you're going through a problem and it doesn't make sense and you don't understand it, that makes it hard to understand why are you going through it. But when you see in your problem that there is a purpose for it, then that gives you hope. It gives you an enormous power to endure it. And God says, I'm working in your life and I have a purpose no matter what you're going through. No matter what's happening, I have a purpose. In Romans 8:28, it says, we know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Now notice, it doesn't say all things work out the way you want them to. Oh no, doesn't say that. And it does not say all things have a happy ending on earth. Because that is not true. All things do not have a happy ending on earth. Reality teaches us that every patient doesn't get well. That not every couple that gets married lives happily ever after. Reality teaches us that not every problem is resolved. So we know that. That's not true that everything ends well. What it says is, we know that God causes all things to work together for good. And what does that include? Does that include illness? Yes. Does that include failure? Yes. Does it include the stupid decisions that I make and the mistakes I bring upon myself? Yes, absolutely. Everything fits into God's plan. The good, the bad, the indifferent. The things that I do, the things I don't do. All things work together for good. Now notice, it doesn't say all things are good. And it does not say God causes all things. God does not. But it does say that God causes all things to work for together for good. It's not by an accident. And it's not something that's happening separate from things. They all work together. And notice the qualifier of this great promise. It's not for everybody. It says those who love God. All things do not work together for good for everybody. This is not a promise to everybody. It's a promise for those who love God and want to have a relationship with Him and who are trying to live according to His purposes. That is who is being talked about in that verse. This morning, if you're here and you are facing a difficult situation, the next verse is for you. It's Jeremiah 29. God says, I have good plans for you, not plans to hurt you. I will give you hope and a good future. You may think that what God is doing in your life right now, even if it's very painful, that this is not God's, He's got no part of it, that there's no avail. But God says, my plan is good. You just don't see it. You need to trust me. Now, if you've walked away from God in your life at some point, and you think, you know, I was close to God at one time in my life, but I'm not right now. And I don't know how to get back to Him. I don't know how to get back to that place. In the next verse in Philippians, we find that it says, God began doing a good work in you, and I am sure He will continue it until it is finished. God starts something in your life, and what He starts, He finishes. You may say, you're too far beyond hope. You've done too many things. You've not been pleasing to God. Whatever. But the truth is, you're not that far away, because God is there with you. God is always with you. How do I learn about God's plan for my life? How do I know where God is working in my life? How do I learn that? It's through the Bible. And that's why we've encouraged you last year to read the Bible through with us. That's why we're encouraging you this year to read the Bible through with us. Because the Bible tells us in Romans 15 that everything that was written in this book was written for us, for our encouragement, for our hope, for the light to shine on the path so that we would know how to walk. The more you get into the Bible, God's Word, the more hopeful a person you're going to be. The first thing I know about God is He's watching over me. And the second thing I know, His purpose is working for me. And there's a third thing, a third source of hope. And that is, God's place is waiting for me. When things get unbearable in your life, you remember that our ultimate hope is not here on earth. Our ultimate hope is heaven. Paul says it like this, if all our hope is just on this earth, we should be pitied. But there's more to life than just here and now. We do have an ultimate destination, and God is preparing a place in heaven. Notice what Jesus said in John 14. Don't be troubled. You trust in God? Now trust in me. I am going to prepare a place for you. Jesus Christ says that heaven is a place. It's not just a state of mind. It's just not some wishful thinking. It's just not some other world. It's a real place. it's a place then God says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Heaven is a place of relief and release and fulfillment. No fear, no pain, no illness, no sorrow, no conflict, no more problems. The Bible says that He will wipe away all your tears from your eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, nor pain. All of that has gone forever. And this gives us the reason for our hope. Anybody can have great faith when things are going great. We see people going through life all the time, and they say they're living the high life, and they're living it up, and everything's fine. And it's easy to have that feeling when everything's going great. But how do you handle things when things begin to go bad? When things begin to be problems and troubling? Where does hope come from then? There's only one place that you can get hope in those times. A personal relationship with Jesus Christ. When you get that kind of relationship with Jesus, you know that God is watching over you and that His purpose is working in you and His place is waiting for you. And that's where you can have true hope, is when it's in Jesus. If you are feeling hopeless this morning, if you're feeling stressed and problems and struggles and uncertainty about something in your life, maybe you have forgotten how much God loves you, how much God cares for you. The Bible says in Isaiah, listen, I have upheld you since you were conceived, and I have taken care of you from your birth. Even when you're old, I will be the same. Even when your hair has turned gray, I will take care of you. I made you, and I will take care of you, and I will carry you and save you. What a God we have. If you've just been barely hanging in there, just barely hanging on, I want you to remember as we close this service this morning, that you need to remember who God is. Jehovah Shema. I am the God who is always there. You will never go through anything where you're doing it alone. No matter what happens, God's presence will always be watching over you. God's purpose will always be working in you. And God's place is always waiting for you. Would you pray with me? I believe God brought us here today so He could say this to us. Don't give in to discouragement. Don't give up, but look up. Give it over to God. Father, I'm sure there are people here today who are feeling pretty beat up by the circumstances of life. They may be feeling discouraged and depressed by the pandemic and by the events that have happened to them. Thank you so much for bringing these people here today, that we could be into your house and hear your word and feel your presence. Jesus Christ, I know that you love each one of us so much. And I pray that in this moment that each of us will turn over all of our life to you so we can begin a new life of living hope. Lord, help us to be more aware that you are always with us and that you are always watching over us. I want to thank you for working in my life when my heart stopped, and working in my life even when I didn't know it, even when I didn't understand it, even when I didn't feel it, even in the middle of all my pain and problems. I thank you for your purpose. And I want to come to you to get to know you
and follow your purpose for my life more closely. So today, Jesus Christ, as much as we know how, we give our lives to you anew. We want to put our trust in the hope of heaven. In your name we pray. Amen.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day. Day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day.